Further Review is brought to you by Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store. Visit us online at consumersbeverages.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Further Review, Buffalo News, BuffaloNews.com. I'm Ryan O'Halloran, along with Jay Skursky, as always. And we are 12 to 15 hours removed, maybe 18 hours removed from another Bills playoff loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, fourth time in 5 years, 32-29, the AFC Championship game. And Jay, let's start with that 32 part. This was the Chiefs offense that didn't break 30 the entire regular season, yet they did whatever they wanted on Sunday night. How disappointing was the Bills' defense?
Massively. I mean, to me, it's the reason that they lost, or really high up on the list of reasons that they lost. And you said it there, Ryan. They had not scored 30 points in a game. And to get to 32, they made it look easy. And, you know, that's troubling. You know, it's troubling that the Bills continue to find themselves in this situation when they're in the postseason, in that their defense is the unit that I think is letting them down. And, you know, the offense is not without blame here. Don't get me wrong. This was all three units, you know, even the punt return that was allowed that set up a scoring drive didn't help. But the defense needed to get off the field more. We knew that that was going to be a concern. And yeah, they did get some stops in the second half. Holding the Chiefs to a field goal toward the end of the game did give the offense a chance, but it wasn't good enough. And even at the very end of the game, you've got to stop the Chiefs from getting a first down. It's not an easy situation, but they failed, right? And that is a word, failure, that we've used far too often in the postseason when we're talking about Sean McDermott defenses.
And we haven't mentioned Brandon Bean a lot this year because so many things have gone right, but some of his work was on display Sunday night, and that was depth issues. Kyrie Elam was not very good once Christian Benford went down. Damar Hamlin wasn't very good at safety, but he played the whole season. So if you're a Bills fan and you look at how this defense was built, where do they go from here in terms of making sure this doesn't happen again if they sustain one injury and it just goes downhill quickly?
Yeah, I mean, they got to improve the depth, right? I mean, Elam not being able to play is a problem. It's a miss. It's a bust, really, is what it is. They should not have been that impacted by one injury, right? Christian Benford going out should not mean that your entire defensive game plan is blown up. And to the Chiefs' credit, and Sean McDermott said it after the game, they attacked it. They attacked the absence of Benford. Elam comes into the game and they go right at him, right? And he's got two penalties, and you could argue that both of them, I think, were bad penalties. But they were called, right? And so that's an issue. Damar Hamlin, we always knew that replacing Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde was not going to be easy. Cole Bishop stepping into the lineup for Taylor Rapp, again, less than ideal. But to me, it starts up front and the defensive line. And this is an area that Bean just has not been able to get right. He just can't. He's put resources into it in terms of draft capital. He has put big free agency dollars into the position. He has paid guys, thinking of Ed Oliver here, that were already on the team. He's on the way to paying Greg Rousseau. Where was Greg Rousseau last night? Where was Von Miller last night? These guys were not impactful enough. They did not affect the quarterback, being Patrick Mahomes, the way you need to. This is no secret. This is no surprise. But the only way to deal with elite quarterbacks, and Mahomes is arguably on a track to be the greatest of all time, is to pressure them, right? To make them uncomfortable. And the Bills just didn't get enough of that. And to me, it's not even me saying it. It's Sean McDermott saying it. Every game starts up front, offensive line, defensive line. If they're being honest with themselves, the defensive line did not do well enough last night to do what you needed to do to affect Patrick Mahomes.
And you mentioned Mahomes. I mean, he was not a scrambler at all this season, yet last night he goes 11 for 43. And he basically dropped back, saw the Bills were in man coverage,
yep,
had pretty decent coverage, and then took off. So, okay, where was the spy? Why wasn't that used more? Where was the adjustment there? And also, I think Elam is, if you know you have a weak link there, you're playing single high. As Tony Romo said on the broadcast, he's got to play off. Doesn't want to get beat deep. Well, you're getting 10 yards, 11 yards, 12 yards. And I mean, you're right. You go back to your point about the D-line. You didn't feel him at all. I mean, no. Ed Oliver had a couple plays, but I think he's massively overpaid. you know, they brought in Phillips and Jefferson as band-aids during the season. That means they really think they had issues. So it's a defense that we sort of knew going into the season was flawed, but they made up for it with takeaways. But they were totally exposed on Sunday night, and a disappointing ending for those guys.
Get your cold beer here at Consumers Beverages, where you'll find the largest selection of craft, specialty, import, and domestic beer. Consumers Beverages has the fastest empty container returns at all 18 locations. Visit consumersbeverages.com, Buffalo's Beer Store.
And Ryan, as I mentioned in the first segment, I don't think that the offense is avoiding all blame for this game, but by and large, you know, the quarterback did what he does. He gave this team a chance to win. Another, you know, classic Allen Mahomes showdown in the postseason. What did you make of the offensive performance overall, maybe starting with the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, Josh's numbers were elite. 104.7 rating, no turnovers. He recovered both of his fumbles, two touchdowns, and he rushed for 39 yards. But, you know, there wasn't that aha play. It would have been that fourth down play at the end of the game, but he started off very shaky, should have been intercepted with his first throw. As he pointed out earlier on Monday, he dropped that easy shotgun snap that basically derailed that drive and made him kick a field goal. He fumbled again while he's being sacked. And then some of the, you know, I'd love to be behind the scenes with him and Joe Brady today about the third and one, fourth and one fiascos. Okay, did he pick the right lane? You know, should he have checked out of something? He was 3 of 6 in those situations compared to being almost perfect throughout the season. So it wasn't a Josh Allen typical playoff game it wasn't his best. His best was what was required. But the other thing I look at offense, they're 5 of 14 on third down. They're just pathetic. And some of those were short yardage situations. And it's okay, who's going to make a play? I mean, I would just throw it to Shakir every time. That's my thing. But it was tough sledding in the passing game because, as Connor McGovern told me afterwards, there were disguising a lot in their, you know, free rushers and included in that last play. So, you know, I think the scheme gave them some problems. But, you know, for Josh Allen now 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, this one's going to leave a mark just like the other ones left a mark.
Yeah, to your point about the sneaks not working, and we've seen it work all season so wonderfully. Allen said today that he suffered a hand and wrist injury on the attempted two-point conversion, which was at the end of the first half. You wonder how impactful that was the rest of the way in terms of stretching out the ball, in terms of everything, right? So that is going to lead our notebook. Catherine Fitzgerald will be writing about that in tomorrow's Buffalo News, so you can look for that. But it makes you question the play calling even more, right? The quarterback's banged up. And you knew it at halftime that he was banged up. So what do you keep running that play for? It's you know, this was not a good showing for Joe Brady. Conservative at times, you know, it's 3rd and 10. You're throwing a bubble screen to Amari Cooper on the play before the heave to Kincaid. Like that play is not getting you 10 yards and you can't, you know, you're setting up 4th and medium. I didn't like that play call. I want to see Allen throw the ball down the field a little bit more. To your point, Ryan, I mean, you know, who's going to make a play? Well, James Cook made plays. He should have got the ball more, 13 carries, 85 yards. He was their best player, arguably, on offense. I mean, if you want to debate whether it was him or Allen, I don't know. But I bet you that in the locker room they'd tell you it was Cook. I bet you Allen would tell you it was Cook. Cook was awesome. Mm-hmm. That touchdown run on 4th down was one of the better plays I've ever seen. The fact that he was able to stretch that ball over the goal line. I want to talk about the receivers, though. Mac Hollins.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, Mac
Our
Hollins.
Guy, Mac.
My guy. He's becoming my guy. He's nobody because nobody else is stepping up to be the guy, right? I mean, Shakir played fine. He did what he does. He's consistent. You know what you're going to get. Where are the outside guys? Where is Amari Cooper? Where is Keon Coleman? Holy Lord. Talk about, you know, Xavier Worthy on the other side and debating that, and we're going to get to that. And I got questions for Brandon Bean all about that. But where is Keon Coleman? I mean, just no separation. Amari Cooper, yeah, he catches the 4 targets, but 4 targets? That's it? Like, this is supposed to be your number one receiver. Another thing I want to talk about with Brady, his use of number one receivers. I mean, it was nowhere with Diggs last year. Cooper's supposed to be that. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's at a stage in his career where he's no longer that, but he has been in the past. He's been a darn good one. And he didn't do much in this offense since coming over in a trade. And so the receiver group for me overall is a problem. It's a problem when Mac Hollins is the guy that's making plays down the field. And that's not taking anything away from him. He became a pretty good player for this team, and I'll give him credit where it's due. But he was never supposed to be your leading yardage receiver in a postseason game against Kansas City.
But it's one thing. It's what's the old adage? If he's your number one, then you got a problem.
You don't have a number one.
Right? Yeah, you don't have him. You know, if he's the answer, I don't want to know what the question is. So I mean, bringing that up now, they have big needs in the first round. I think they got to draft a defensive tackle. But does Brandon Bean get creative and maybe trade a piece to get a receiver or trade a future pick to get a receiver? Because they didn't throw the ball downfield against Baltimore. They didn't throw the ball down the field except for once or twice against Kansas City. And I don't want to hear this crap about, well, they're playing this coverage. The field is still 50 yards wide. There's only two guys back there at most. And you know, you have to get creative to do some of those things, to get those chunk plays. You cannot count on driving 10, 11, 12, or 9 plays all the way down the field.
I'm in favor of trades. I don't want to see any more projects. I don't want to see Keon Coleman's coming in here having to learn on the fly. Go get a guy that's established that you know can do it in this league. You don't need draft picks. They got more than enough draft picks. They didn't play their draft picks last night. They sat all of their rookies, right? Yeah. This is not a team that is rebuilding with youth right now. They are a team that is in a position to go for it. You need to go for it. And let's be honest, and again, we're going to talk more maybe about this in upcoming segments here, but the draft picks haven't worked out. Dalton Kincaid isn't working out. Dalton Kincaid is 2 years into his career. You need a guy to make a play, and he didn't make it. The difference in this game, Ryan, is that the Bills, when they had their opportunities to make plays, failed. The Chiefs didn't. And that has been the defining difference between these two teams for, as you said at the start, 4 out of the last 5 years, which, by the way, has never, ever happened in the NFL. One team has not beaten another 4 times in 5 years in the playoffs.
Well, Jay, about 24 hours before kickoff over the weekend, it was revealed Joe Brady is staying with the Bills instead of pursuing the Saints job. As you tweeted at the time, pretty good decision on his part. That I don't like that New Orleans job at all. That said, Brady, then the next day, it was not his finest hour. How would you, in retrospect, if you're talking to Joe today, how would he maybe regret some of the 3rd and 1, 4th and 1 stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's where it starts, right? Especially when you could tell that the Chiefs were onto it. They had a plan for it. They knew what was coming. I mean, they were lined up for it, and they had the horses up front to stop it. And so for me, I think that was an issue with Brady. And I get it, right? Sean McDermott said after the game that, you know, it's been their best play all year. Understandably so, rightfully so, it has been. But it wasn't working, and you got to see your offensive coordinator pivot from that. And I didn't think he did a good enough job of that. Now, let's take the big picture view here, right, and expand out a little bit. I mean, this is the number 2 scoring offense in the NFL. They're returning Josh Allen at the height of his powers, you know, in his prime. I think it's a net positive that they're not losing Joe Brady. They're going to have continuity on the offensive line. They're going to have continuity at running back. They're going to have continuity at quarterback. Yeah, there'll probably be some new pieces at wide receiver, but that's true of pretty much any team. And so I don't think that this has to mean that Brady, you know, certainly he's not on the hot seat or anything like that. And I think it can be a good thing for the offense moving forward that he is still in his role. And I think, you know, there'll be growth there in year 2, as you would expect. None of that is making anybody feel better today. And I get that entirely. And if there is frustration with Joe Brady, if there is disappointment in the way that this season ends, all of that is entirely justified. But, you know, it's a fact of life in the NFL that there is turnover in the coaching ranks. It happens quite often. And for the Bills to be to avoid that, I think long term, you know, May, June, July, when training camp starts, we're going to look at that as a positive. You're probably not feeling real good about that right now, though.
Yeah. And you mentioned the 2-point play earlier in the pod. Terrible play call. I mean, that's not a goal line play. That's a 2-point conversion. Get your quarterback on the move. Give him a run pass option. You know, get Knox or Kincaid in the back of the end zone. and throw it to him, or just run it yourself, or just give it to James Cook, who, as you accurately said earlier, is their best player on offense last night. So, if you're a Bills fan, you hope Joe Brady learns from last night and gets better that way. As for Sean McDermott, the challenge on TV, they were surprised it wasn't ruled incomplete. It still would have been a first down because of a penalty on Elam.
Yeah.
It didn't impact the game. But to me, this head football coach is all about his defense, and it's all about his line of scrimmage. And both sides got their behind kick last night. So that's what Sean's got to go into the offseason. And, I think he's got to put his foot down a little bit with management and say, hey, we need a playmaker.
Yeah.
And if have to trade a good player to get a very good player,
yeah,
something to consider.
Absolutely. And I think, this is McDermott is going to own this as much as anyone in this organization, his inability to lead this franchise past the Chiefs, right? It's not on Allen. Allen is playing well enough to beat them. He's doing his part. And so who isn't, right? I think it's McDermott. Now, this isn't as egregious as 13 seconds by any stretch. But, where is the belief that this team can ultimately eventually get over this hump? Josh Allen today said he's extremely confident that Sean McDermott is the right guy for the job to lead him there. You wouldn't expect to hear the quarterback say anything else or say anything less. I do think that there is growth there between the relationship between those two. I think that McDermott has taken strides as a head coach. Again, none of that is to excuse what happened last night, and I fully recognize and understand that it's probably not making people feel better. But until he proves that he can do it, and until his defense is up to the challenge, that is the biggest concern for me, is that the defense continues to come up short against that opponent. And I know that it's a big challenge, and they are not alone in coming up short against Patrick Mahomes, especially on the road in the playoffs. But that's the stratosphere that we're living in here, right? That is the challenge. That's what's left for this organization. That's the bar that they have to clear, the hurdle that they have to clear. And, one last thing on the coaching ranks here, Ryan. You expecting a change at special teams coordinator? I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out either. I mean, last night was another long return allowed. If McDermott has, Darren Rizzi is still out there. I thought he'd be in Denver right now. If they feel like they can make that kind of splash, a guy like John Fossil, he's now with Tennessee. He was available after Dallas moved on. Bills missed the boat because they're still playing. I think they got to really look at it, look at the scheme, look at the depth. Okay, are they keeping the right guys on the roster? Are they keeping the right guys active? And because you expected something to go wrong on special teams every game, and it damn near did.
Yeah, it did. And just we'll wrap it up on Brady. I do think that he made the right call in avoiding that Saints job. No cap space whatsoever. Actually, way over the projected cap. No clear path to a franchise quarterback. So I think he's trying to follow the Ben Johnson path here, right? Being selective in your first year is kind of the hot candidate. Ben Johnson goes back to Detroit, has another good year, and then he ends up landing the Chicago job. I think Brady is looking at this saying, I'm going to have my pick, maybe, of some more attractive openings next year. So I think, 24 hours before the game, I thought that was some pretty good news for the Bills. I know fans maybe are feeling a little bit differently right now, but I understand where Joe Brady was coming from in making that decision.
Last thing, 5 seconds on this. Joe Brady and every other 2026 candidate is eyeing the Cincinnati job, and for good reason. All right, Jay, let's wrap it up. Locker cleanout day down at the Bills facility Monday, late morning, early afternoon. Do you have two or three or four takeaways from what you heard, what you asked? And I'll tee up on the first one, which would be Micah Hyde.
Yeah, so Micah Hyde told me, had a nice chat with him at his locker, that he is done. He's officially retiring. He hasn't filed the paperwork just yet, but that'll be coming soon enough. No, I don't think anybody's really surprised by that. It was trending that way, of course. But listen, he's a guy that, however the Bills decide to honor their great players in the future when the new stadium opens, I think Micah Hyde is certainly going to be one of those that is honored. And, I wanted to talk to him a little bit just about, the decision to come back. Did he expect to play, all of that stuff? And so we'll have more on that in the Buffalo News in my chat with him. Jordan Phillips also told me that he's open to continuing his playing career. If he does, though, it will only be in Buffalo. he's a pending unrestricted free agent. He basically said, if the Bills call, I'll answer. But if not, I'm not playing for anybody else.
Real quick. Yeah. I hope Jordan Phillips probably also hopes that call doesn't come until Labor Day weekend. So he doesn't have to do camp.
But go right. Ahead. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Allen, long press conference with him to wrap up his season. I thought he was tremendous. Did suffer a hand and wrist injury, as we talked about earlier. That was probably the most newsworthy thing to come out. But he did say that he does not anticipate needing any kind of surgery this offseason. That's good news. One thing, Ryan, that stood out to me was his leadership. I asked him a question about Dalton Kincaid and said, what has to happen to get more consistency out of him? Because he has underachieved through 2 years. There's no question about it. And without missing a beat, Allen said, I need to be better for him. I need to throw him better balls. I am not putting him in good enough situations to succeed. And I was really impressed with the answer. Now, do I agree with it entirely? 100%? No, I don't. I think a lot of this is on Kincaid. But Allen is right in some sense. The first pass that was intended for Kincaid last night was a little bit behind him. It allowed the defender to get in and break it up. So, but to me, that just speaks to a larger sense of leadership from Allen, and I'd love to hear from you about what you saw from that as that developed this season.
He's a dynamo. Yeah. And I say that as an impartial observer, and I've told Josh this. I've covered teams where you never see the quarterback in the locker room. He is like a sort of a CEO type, totally detached, totally not involved. This guy sits at his locker, watches the ping pong match right in front of him, interacts with teammates, has that Friday meeting with just the offensive players, makes feel everybody's opinion feel wanted. I've never seen a guy like this at quarterback, both on and off the field. And that's why, and I got a couple of texts last night and this morning from NFL people I know. And one of them said, I feel sorry for Josh. The next one says, Josh is going to break through. And that's the belief around the league. And I also believe that, because that's how good he is. That's how respected he is. But, Terry Pegula cannot have a better guy at quarterback going into a new stadium in a year from now than Josh Allen. And, if I'm a Bills fan, continue to have hope. And one thing Dawson Knox said last night, hey, when they finally do break through, all the other scar tissue is going to make it feel really good. And I do believe that for the fans and the players.
I think that's as good a place as any to wrap up this final episode of the Further Review podcast for the 2024 season. Ryan and I are not going too far. We will be around this offseason. We'll be at the scouting combine. We'll be at the owners' meetings. We'll be at the major events of the offseason. So we will have additional episodes of this in the future. So make sure that you don't forget about us. Make sure you tune in. We'll have that on our social media channels when we do have episodes coming up. Any final thoughts, Ryan?
What day are we going to do the Tyreek Hill traded the Bills podcast?
That'll be an emergency episode. We will jump on the air as soon as that goes down, right? Yeah. How about Max Crosby? There, I'll throw out a name.
There we go. On the radio today, they mentioned Myles Garrett. But in all seriousness, I think Brandon Bean's got to take a big swing. And you mentioned it last segment. Trading picks is fine with me when you have Josh Allen, a quarterback, because the window is open.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll write a lot about that this offseason. Crosby's a name that I love, that I think people should think about a little bit, but obviously plenty of time for that. Unfortunately for Bills fans, because the offseason is long and it is just starting, but we sincerely thank you for Ryan and myself for listening and watching all season in this inaugural season of the Further Review podcast. And as I said, we will be back at times sporadically throughout the off season when big events happen, like a trade, or when big NFL events happen, like the combine. So please make sure that you stay at BuffaloNews.com to read everything that we're writing, and we will talk to you soon enough. So for Ryan O'Hanlon, I am Jay Skirsky. Thanks again for watching.
Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store since 1948. Find out what our latest deals are by visiting consumersbeverages.com.